call the May 23rd special meeting of the Bucksport Planning Board to order. Roll call.
James Morrison is absent. Brian McDonald.
Here.
David Grant.
Present.
Steve Feit.
Present.
Edward Belcher.
Here.
George Hansen is absent. Christopher Johnson.
Here.
Review and accept the minutes.
Hey, Jim.
Hello. Morrison is here.
I was sitting in on that meeting downstairs.
Oh.
Just finished.
Everybody had a chance to look at the minutes?
I did. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Chair report. There is no chair report. Code enforcement officer's report.
I visited the Ledbetter Superstop site today to take a look at an issue that was brought to my attention and the town manager's attention today about inadequate stormwater runoff on the side of the property next to Kurt Woods' multifamily.
Yeah.
He was in the office this morning, met with the town manager and I to express his concerns about that.
Looks like it'll pour right into their lot.
So I walked down there on my lunch break and Jeff Ledbetter happened to be there, so I talked with him about that and pointed out some things that needed some work. The swale that they built right next to Kurtwood's driveway is really poorly built. There's no riprap or any stabilization work at all there, and it was eroding. So I asked him to address that, but he also plans to build a diversion ditch up behind in the upper right corner of his lot that will direct any water coming down that slope towards the culverted stream and away from that swale that he's built next to Kurt's property. That might help to avoid flooding his driveway and even worse, flooding his basement, which is what he's greatly concerned about. It's happened before, and he is concerned that it might happen again because of the work that's done on the Ledbetter lot. So Mr. Ledbetter is going to prepare a written plan and submit it to the town at our request. And we'll see how that works.
Did they ever straighten out the cut and fill line over on next to
the old Dr. Hughes place?
Yeah.
The trees, there were some trees.
Oh, that's another issue that Mr. Ledbetter's dealing with. He's trying to work out something with the property owner, and I guess there's been a bit of a breakdown in
negotiations. I guess the surveys have been two different surveys.
Yeah, there's a question about where the line is.
Yeah. And
so, but he's dealing with that the best way he can. They plan on opening a soft opening on Thursday, I believe. So,
as long as the gas is in,
if you're in the neighborhood, stop by.
Permit for occupancy then.
Already has that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Now you said that Kurt had problems before with the water flooding his basement.
He has, yeah, but not for quite some time, and that was as a result of a blocked culvert.
Oh, I see.
Water backed up and onto the
property. So that was remedied and it no longer was an issue.
It hasn't happened for a long time. I asked him that question today.
Yeah.
So, but he's worried about, as he Ledbetter elevated that lot quite a bit, and he's worried about runoff being diverted now onto his property from that. But
there's some.
The slope of the pavement of the lot is clearly sloped away from that side. They're sloping towards the catch basins on Ledbetter property, so I'm not concerned about that. Is that there's a lot of water that comes off the hill behind.
Right.
So that's what Ledbetter's focusing on, addressing. I mean, certain that water stays away from Mr. Wood's lot as much as possible.
Because that culvert that goes under the Route 1 there, they extended that up into the woods a little bit.
Yes,
a while ago.
They did.
And at that point of the opening there, they should be able to burn the little hillside of that to keep direction into that. All right.
Excuse me, just one. You all set with the doors, etc.?
They're yes.
There. Oh,
thank
you.
Is that it on the
Did you have a question?
Not about this. I want to bring up another item to ask you.
Okay. I'm done my report. Go ahead.
You are done?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where we were with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this the other day. My concern about the Catholic Church not replanting yet on that side area, if the chairman could direct some, how we're going to, where they're at with that, and maybe direct the CEO to contact them, something that
sure.
we could do, and ask them what their plans are going forward here.
Is, well, regarding that, and Ledbetter's, I have a question. Is there any enforcement that, you know, can, if Ledbetter's is going to open Thursday, but this other guy's land is being flooded, is there something we can do to prevent that from, you know, prevent him from?
Well, there's no flooding taking place now. There's just a fear of flooding.
Okay.
And
take a look at it.
Friday, I think the last time I checked, there's a pretty good chance of some good rains coming on Friday.
Right.
So if we do have that, I'll be down there looking at this, at, you know, what water's doing down there.
And the same with the tree line. If I remember, he cut all the trees between
the neighbors.
Well, he cut them all short or something shorter than the neighbor wanted.
Yeah, he cleared the line trees that he believed he owned.
Right.
He was entitled to do that. There was no buffer or screening requirement that you placed on your approval of this project. So he cut those trees to improve the visibility of the site from the road.
She had a survey stake, and it was removed, and that's why there was a big hassle.
It's a matter that it's between property owners. They have to settle it civilly if they can't come to an agreement.
So with the Catholic Church, they haven't, or they have refused it?
No, mine is, I haven't seen any plantings yet out there.
No,
I don't,
did
I,
we
nor have
any
we,
activity as well?
No.
I haven't seen anything. I drove by there.
The site remains stabilized, in my opinion, sufficiently stabilized. I have not contacted the church. I intend to do that this spring to find out where things are at. I think the couple that was involved in this project from the beginning may not be involved in it any longer. I just haven't heard from them. I expected to hear from them by now, but
the couple that was working for the church,
yeah, they helping the church. They started this whole project.
Right.
Yeah.
So who's in the?
But there will be the expectation of replanting the buffer that was illegally cleared is still there.
Hmm.
It will be the church's ultimate responsibility to take care of that.
And is there a, should the church have to do that prior to expanding the cemetery? Is that like a? We didn't make a stipulation or anything, did we?
No, you didn't. You didn't put that restriction. I don't recall on the actual site development. Although I don't know what their plans are now for using that land up behind there for burial sites anytime soon. I just don't know.
Yeah. But those plantings don't really affect the actual construction. So it should be imperative that they go ahead with the plantings, because those won't affect roadway.
Yeah. When we get through the review of proposed changes that are on the agenda tonight, you'll see that there are some revegetation standards that DEP has put in their guidelines that help deal with issues like this, where you have an illegal clearing. You know, what are your expectations for replanting? Well, now there's some standards that we can use.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that it was in the minutes that we are following this. And thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Jeff, you're done?
Yes.
At this time, we'll open a limited public forum for an opportunity for the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport, items that are not already on the agenda. Anyone wish to say anything? Seeing none, I close the limited public forum. Unfinished business, none. New business, none. Administrative business, proposed shoreline amendments to Appendix K, Land Use Ordinance, first review.
So I think all of you are at the council meeting. Ed wasn't, right? Yeah. That Brian did a presentation about the decision this board had made regarding whether or not retail marijuana establishments and social clubs should be allowed in the town of Bucksport. And at your meeting, there was a vote to ban all those uses, and the vote failed. So that raised the question, what do we do now? Do we start working on ordinances to talk about where these uses should be allowed and what limitations we should impose upon them? And the thought was brought up that we probably should get some input from the town council before moving forward and starting that work, because the council may have a different opinion. And it turns out they did have a different opinion. They made a recommendation, I think it was a unanimous vote, to direct the planning board to write an ordinance that essentially banned those uses. So that's not on the agenda tonight. We'll be working on that. You have a copy. I've already prepared the draft amendments, and you have a copy in your packet. So that'll be on the next meeting's agenda. Tonight we're talking about changes to shoreline standards, and this came about as a result of DEP's agreeing to the proposed amendments to the dimensional standards that you submitted to them back in January, that we had to amend a couple of them a little bit, but they essentially agreed to all the changes that you wanted to have. And as a result, it will enable people who own commercial or non-commercial buildings on Main Street in the downtown Shoreland District to add uses in their buildings that previously had to be provided with a minimum lot size and a minimum amount of shore frontage. Now, once these changes are adopted, those requirements will go away, and owners will be able to add dwelling units on the upper floors without any dimensional standard restrictions, and even on the first floor. We have a restriction on the first floor that an apartment has to be, it can't occupy any more than 50% of the first floor space, and it has to be located to the rear of that space so that the front can be preserved for commercial use. So you all have these changes. I have a couple copies here if you'd like to follow along. I'm taking the opportunity to propose not just the dimensional standard changes, but also several other shoreland changes that are needed because of changes DEP made in their Chapter 1000 guidelines. They did this back in January 2015, but they didn't place a deadline for towns to make these changes accordingly. So that's why we've done it a couple of times. There's some minor things we took care of along the way, but this is the bulk of the changes that DEP says we need to make to be in conformance with their guidelines. So some of the changes deal with revegetation, how you deal with storm-damaged trees or diseased trees, and what was the other one? There are three things. Revegetation. Exemptions. There are exemptions that have been added now to the guidelines to the clearing standards that are in our ordinance in section 12.8. Excuse me. Because of the amount of language that are in those three items, I thought it might make sense to put them into an addendum. We already have two addendums to Appendix K, one of which contains the zoning maps, and one contains mineral extraction standards, addendums 1 and 2. Addendum 3 would contain the exemptions to the clearing standards, revegetation requirements, and dealing with stormwater, storm damaged and diseased trees. So we'll get to that. But I started off on page 1 by recognizing that we have these addendums. So that's what 3.4 in section 1 has been added to actually say what the ordinance includes. Sections 1 through 20, which are already existing. And addendums 1, 2, and 3 is adopted and amended by the Bucksport Town Council. It just clarifies that the addendums are part of Appendix K. Did you all have a chance to read through these for tonight's meeting?
I didn't.
Oh, that's right. You didn't get your copy. So. Yeah. So the next change on page 1 is down 12.4.2.1, where it says that vegetation can be removed in excess of the clearing standards in section 12.8 to deal with erosion control issues. And I thought that the best place for that language would be in the section that talks about soil erosion and sedimentation. It has a limitation that construction equipment must access the shoreline by barge when feasible, as determined by the reviewing authority. And then if you have to remove vegetation to get equipment to the destabilized site, that access can be no more than 12 feet in width. And then it has to be restored when the stabilization work is done. And the restoration that needs to be done is spelled out in the restoration language in Addendum 3. That's the only change in Section 12.4, soil erosion and sedimentation. The next change is in Section 12.8, which is the clearing standards. And for some reason, in the guidelines, it does not have a cleared opening restriction in what they call the General Development District and the Commercial Fisheries and Maritime Activities District. We call the General Development District the Downtown Shoreland District. That's one. It's modeled after their General Development District. So I added the language that says that there are no limitations to cleared openings in the DTS district, which coincides with the change we're going to be making to allow 100% lot coverage.
So Frank will be able to cut his trees across the street there eventually.
Well, you still have buffer requirements, and I don't know how that would fall into that, but right. there's still a need for buffer. And then 12.8, 11, 12, and 13 just simply say where the exemptions are located, where the hazard tree language is located, and where the revegetation language is located. On page 3, I had to renumber some existing sections to bring them back in sequence. Section 13, this is where we start getting into the changes that DEP has agreed to. Mm-hmm. So, decks and porches. And by the way, this is an offer that the town made in response to the concern about our request to allow a zero minimum lot size. DEP was concerned about that. That's why they came back and said, well, what about 1,000? They wanted to have some language in our ordinance to be certain that the waterfront walkway buffer is going to be forever preserved.
Well, in a way it is. A good deal of it, because the sewer line's there. That's public easement.
Right. But this language here...
And that's a 20-foot easement.
Yeah. This language here sets a minimum setback. This section, the first section we're talking about, pertains to decks and porches. Right now, there's no minimum setback for a deck or porch from the waterfront walkway. It's just from property lines or from the shoreline. Yeah. This establishes a 25-foot minimum setback. It will make some existing... I'm not sure if it does make any. There aren't any decks.
So this would be 25 feet back
From the edge of the walkway,
yeah. Right away.
Yeah.
Right away?
No, there's no right away. The right away is the walkway. That's it.
I thought Ed said there was a 20-foot right away.
Well, you have easement. You have sewer easement that has a defined width. But you can't put structures in that area there. But then you have the walkway. Now, where the walkway crosses over a private property, the width of that easement is just the width of the pavers. 6 feet wide. We also do some maintenance of landscaping on either side, but that's not included in the actual walkway easement.
Boy, if I was a landowner, I'd want to establish as precisely as possible where those pavers are immediately, so that would never be any question where that is as of this date. That would be in their interest to make sure they know exactly where that is. Not that it would move tomorrow, but you never know what can happen.
Yeah, it was never detailed, based on unknown points where that walkway is. It was just agreed to by the property owners as it was being built. So
there's no paperwork that says this walkway is located at this point anyway.
No, there were no plans for the walkway. There are plans for the sewer.
Yeah.
Well, there were plans for the walkway, but building it on the face of the earth probably was just staked out.
Yeah.
And the town manager or the property owner got together and said, "Does this look right to you?" And that kind of thing probably happened.
So now it's in the town's interest to establish where that is too, all the way through.
Maybe.
These numbers haven't been established yet. We're saying that that walkway just exists, and it's not existing here. It's existing. Existing.
There's no record.
It's pretty much where it's supposed to be, walkway.
But there's no record of where it is on paper.
There's no legal description that tells you. Right. There's no boundary lines that are described like a deed would have a survey description.
So what's going to happen? How is this going to be?
What's it going to be defined?
Oh, you can survey it. You could survey its existing position.
But there's no need to do that for this to be applicable.
Right.
Because there's a physical structure called the waterfront walkway.
Right, I understand.
Right. Okay.
But sooner or later, it would be nice to have all that material available. If somebody argues that the thing's been moved or whatever, which we know it hasn't, but sooner or later, I think there'll be a challenge to where that really is.
Could be. Because the sewer is not always directly under. I think it crosses Hoffman Insurance Building there. There's a jut of land the walkway goes around, but the sewer goes right through.
Yeah. So are you okay with the 25-foot setback for decks and porches? That'll come up again shortly for parking lots and parking spaces, but I'm keeping things in sequence here. Mm-hmm. So the next session talks about campsites. And this is a change, again, from the state's guidelines. They are now requiring that you have to have the 30,000 square feet for a campsite in addition to the minimum lot size for any principal structure that's on the lot. For example, if you have a house on a lot and you want to build a campsite, you have to have, if it's in the shoreline zone, say you need 40,000 square feet for the house and 30,000 square feet for the campsite. Right now, that doesn't apply. It doesn't work that way. It's just 30,000 square feet of lot area for a campsite, period, regardless of what's on the lot.
So what do they mean by a campsite, Jeff? What does that mean? Are we talking about a building?
I can't see this on the waterfront.
What are we?
Well, no, this is particularly.
It's a site that's a cleared area.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Gravel surface. Where an RV
could be an
is
RV
parked,
or anything. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I understood what that meant. So.
Yeah. And this is applicable just to shoreland districts.
Right. Yeah.
Section 13.5 is the next one, and this is where we get back into the setback again. Number six, I just added that language for parking lots and off-street parking spaces just to sort of reads a little bit better. It doesn't change anything. Number seven, though, is a change. In the DTS district, the minimum setback for parking lots and off-street parking spaces is 25 feet from the waterfront walkway and 10 feet from property lines, in addition to the minimum shoreline setback. That will make some existing parking lots non-conforming, including the one for this building and a few others. But the parking lots that we have now in this district are fully built. There's no opportunity to expand them.
No.
So it really has no negative impact at all on the existing parking lots.
I have a question. Would the lot behind the Nicholson building be not viable for a parking area with this? Does this change that at all?
Or might this 25-foot setback would come into that lot, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you.
It would not apply to... I don't think that 25-foot setback was we agreed to apply to buildings. I believe it was just decks, porches, and parking lots. That was the original proposal of DEP. So.
Thank you.
13-15-13, zero setback shoreline structures. This, again, is from DEP's guidelines. No more than one pier, dock, or wharf for similar structure is allowed on a single lot, except if a single lot contains twice the minimum shore frontage that's needed for a structure. That's not a restriction that we have in our ordinance right now. I don't know of a case where somebody would need to have more than one dock on their camp lot, but...
Does this affect an expansion of a marina by any chance?
Good question.
Where, you know, down behind the... Well, down behind the Rosenville or between there, there's that remnants that are sticking out there that DEP said we could... That would be where, if we had to, we could put something to... tie in, excuse me, with the rest of the marina. I don't know how that would work out, but I just wondered.
I'm not sure what adversely affected, but it may apply.
Okay. That's before the high water mark, though. That's,
what is?
Where would it? Where would you call the high water mark on something like that? Well, how much could you use? Of that property.
For what purpose? I'm not sure I'm following.
I'm just saying if there's land above the high water mark where it juts out. If there's what would you do with it for like a marina use? That's what I guess I'm saying.
Well, there was some discussion that they might develop. You know, build on that old jetty, that whatever it is, the rock pile, and move it to what out, and then connect over to the marina over on the right,
yeah.
And add to it. That was a thought. There wasn't. I don't know how serious people were about it, but there had been some discussion about that, and I thought, well, how does this affect that possibility of that happening? Because the mayor had been interested in that at one point, but then again, there's access issues there as well. It's good access, but you. Are you going over private property?
Mm-hmm.
Because the town, I don't think, owns that property between the Rosenville and the Nicholson. So it may be private now. I don't know. But that would be the access. It was just a thought that they had. And when I read this, I thought, what does that do to that? Does that slow that possibility down? So, anyways, thank you.
Well, I guess the answer to the question is this provision will only impact shoreline districts other than the downtown shoreline district, because we're eliminating the minimum shorefront requirement for structures. That's one change the DEP agreed to. So an answer to the question about this, if it'd be any impact on expanding the dockage for the marina, the answer is no, because there's no minimum shorefront required.
We don't anticipate dividing that pile of rocks out there. Subdivide.
My land out in East Bucksport is now at the high water mark for Mud Pond Swamp. Okay, that is, if you can get out to that brook, that's a good paddling brook, you know? I mean, it's something that I could use because I'm abutting that. Can I put a dock or something out to that brook so I don't have to walk in that floating...
Temporary dock?
Something that I could access the brook, you know.
If it's temporary.
Under this, would that be affected under these regulations?
Well, you start off by saying that you're limited to just one dock on the lot.
Mm-hmm.
unless the lot has twice the minimum frontage required.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have at least one dock.
So I could run from my line out to that actual water across that swampy land.
If it was a temporary dock, it would just take a permit from the town to do that. If it's a permanent dock, you'd have to talk to DEP.
Yeah. Understood.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
Temporary. Right.
Easier that way.
Everything out there is temporary.
Including you, right?
Yeah.
We're all temporary here, folks.
I'll check with DEP about this language for docks, just to be certain that I'm saying the correct thing about the limitation along the shorefront here in this district, you know, because we have no minimum shore frontage now, if that has any impact on that language at all. So I'll bring that clarification back to you next time. Or at least for me, I'm a little confused about that now. On to page 4. The 14.1.5, this is where we have the language that says you have to have every dwelling unit on your property has to have the minimum frontage and area required in the shoreline district. So I added 14.1.5.1 that says that even though you have that limitation, it does not apply to commercial or non-commercial structures in the downtown shoreline district. So that's essentially saying there that you can add dwelling units in those types of buildings without having to have a minimum lot area or shorefront requirement for each dwelling unit you add. 14.8, I added cupolas, domes, widow's walks, and other similar features to structure heights that are not subject to height limitations. That's an allowance that DEP has added in their guidelines, that we can have that flexibility added in our local ordinance if we wanted to. And I thought, well, why not? You know. Some language. DEP is not using the term total footprint anymore, so they're calling non-vegetated surfaces, so we've made that changes accordingly. And then the table 14.9.1 is where we clarify what a dwelling unit doesn't need to provide anymore. So this table deals with minimum land area. So you can see under the column, in the two first columns, the DT and DTS column, there's a new footnote added, 1.17. That's 1,000 square feet. That's the minimum land area. And if you go to the footnote on the following page, 1,000 square feet applies to each principal structure for commercial or non-commercial occupancy, including any dwelling units in the structure. And we've deleted the language that had the language that had the requirements for meeting a minimum lot size for each dwelling, which was 2,500 square feet before. Now it's zero. The next table deals with minimum street frontage. And we've added a similar language about dwelling units not having to comply with a minimum street frontage, both in the downtown and downtown shoreline districts.
That's the downtown and the downtown shoreline district.
Yeah.
So the downtown, I'm sorry, you've got to, that includes... I don't have the charts here with me. I'm trying to understand what...
It's all the land between Main Street and Franklin Street.
Thank you. Okay.
It's between Bagley and the intersection down here with two more lots past the intersection, which are house lots. That's in the downtown area, too. Yeah. Once you get past the second house, you get into the Ledbetter property.
Yeah.
So that's where the zone change is.
Thank
Ledbetters.
You. So Hink Street and Nicholson Avenue are not included in this.
No, they're not.
Okay. Thank you.
They are in the C1, I think.
Yep. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that it was from Main Street to Franklin Street. That's all. Thank you.